And now we're heading into the kitchen for our occasional series, Main Ingredient. We invite chefs to talk about one essential Southern ingredient. Virginia Willis is Georgia-born, but spent years cooking in France and working on food TV with the likes of Natalie Dupree and Martha Stewart. She's author of 6 cookbooks, including titles like Bon Appetit, Y'all, and Lighten Up, Y'all. Her newest book, Secrets of the Southern Table, is a food lover's tour of the global South, and it challenges the stereotypes of a provincial Southern cook serving up pimento cheese or making cornbread in a cast iron skillet.
And actually, it's so funny because, you know, the whole thing has been this book is not just about fried chicken and biscuits. It's not about fried chicken and biscuits. And yet, everybody wants me to make biscuits. And I think I'm going to count up like how many biscuits I've actually made on book tour. And I'm really serious. I think it's approaching like 2,000. I'm not kidding.
Virginia Willis defied all that and chose pears for her main ingredient. She made pear mostarda when we visited her home in Atlanta and served it with ham on biscuits. Slightly savory, scrumptious party biscuits, as she called them, made in a food processor. And we posted her recipe and directions online. It is super easy, even for the biscuit phobic.
People are terrified of biscuits. And so party biscuits are, I also like to call them biscuits with training wheels.
There are a lot of assumptions about Southern food. And then there's the thorny question of which culture owns it. It's a big conversation among food and cultural historians, and we did talk about that. But first, our main ingredient, the pear, and the basics, peeling.
Okay. So what are you doing? You're doing the stem?
Yeah, I'm doing some more towards the stem end. And then at the bottom, I'll go in a circular motion so it's more likely to keep its pear shape.
So why did you choose pear?
I chose pear. It's a traditional. Pear mostarda is a traditional Italian preserve. I love pear. I've always loved pear because when I was growing up, my grandmother, they had a pear tree in the yard, and she would make a pear relish and a pear chow chow, which would be the southern, sort of the southern version of mostarda.
Well, that's the thing, Virginia, you're known for, is expanding our definitions of what southern cuisine is. You know, you're taking traditional foods and putting your own stamp on them, or have you gathered these recipes by people who have innovated and expanded on old Southern cooking?
It's actually that the changes in Southern food and recipes that are in my book are a combination of both me meeting people and seeing what they're doing with traditional Southern ingredients and non-traditional ways, and then also my way of looking at traditional Southern ingredients and looking at them in non-traditional ways. I feel like that sometimes, especially because I have been writing traditional Southern cookbooks for like 10 years now, it can be a box. It's a wonderful box, but it can be a box. And so it's been exciting for me, especially with this book, to just to stretch a little bit and to show that not only do I cook, but that other people also eat food that's beyond fried chicken and biscuits.
Right.
So I'm just dicing this into roughly a half inch dice because it's going to cook down in the sugar and the vinegar. And if I cut it too small, we won't wind up with a relish. We'll wind up with a sauce. The pear tree that was in my grandparents' yard, I remember it just weighing, like being so full of fruit. My grandfather would pick them, and we'd make relish, and then he would also store them in the root cellar. You know, even in this recent age of bourbon and bacon and barbecue, the South is, in my opinion, an agrarian cuisine. It is primarily based in agriculture. And there are things coming off the vine and out of the garden and out of the ground and off a tree almost 12 months of the year. And that is not the case with much of the country. So eating seasonally and locally in the wintertime in Georgia might mean collard greens and sweet potatoes because they do grow here then. So I'm going to add half a cup of vinegar and about a tablespoon of mustard seed. And these are whole yellow mustard seed. And when they cook, they soften a little bit, but they still have some crunch. And then about a cup of sugar and a pinch of salt. And then this is kind of it. We're going to let this cook, and they'll cook down and soften. And at the end of cooking, we're going to spoon in and stir in some good French Dijon mustard, which really gives it some pop. This is also what I would call a refrigerator pickle. When I finish it, we'll just put it in a jar, and it can be stored in the refrigerator for 6 to 8 weeks. I just want to stir it periodically, make sure it's not sticky, and I'm just going to turn it down just a tad so that it doesn't cook too fast.
Tell me about how you learned how to cook, because I know you studied in France, but before that, was your grandmother?
Yeah, so this piece actually, that's the inside of my grandmother's cupboard. So if you imagine, like normally when I'm working, just cooking, I cook right here. Or I chop and stuff right here. So if you were to imagine, like this, that would be the inside of this cupboard. So wherever she worked, she had, in her kitchen, she had these cupboards. And then so she just started taping her recipes up. And then eventually just, you know, writing straight on the wood. So this is like talisman / you know, shrine sort of thing. I know some of these are funny, right?
Have you ever tried the, look at this pecan pie, it sort of goes around a corner. And
chicken, salt, onion, celery, 350 at 1.5 hours. Like, my grandmother did not need a recipe for that. Like, well, I don't even understand why she wrote that down. I learned to cook with my mother and my grandmother, and, you know, when I was in junior high, I made cakes and decorated them and sold them to the neighborhood moms for their kids and stuff. So I've always loved to cook. When I started apprenticing for Natalie Dupree is when she took me out of my mom's kitchen, and I really started to understand puff pastry and, like, things that weren't Southern, you know, like French cooking and the world of cooking. Like, Mama made something that was like, you know, basically chicken and a velouté in a puff pastry, but that certainly wasn't what we called it, you know. It was like a patty shell.
Yeah.
But then I learned how to make the patty shell. Let me just take a peek at this real quick. Yeah. So the moisture is mostly evaporated out of the pear. It's cooking a little fast, so I'm going to turn it down just a tad. But the pears are nice and soft, and all of the vinegar has cooked out. So I'm just going to turn it down to low and let the pears sort of simmer in their own juices.
One of the things that you write about in your book is all of the different forces and people and ethnicities. You know, people talk about the multicultural South of today, but you make the point that it has been like that for a long time. But obviously, black and white comes up a lot in our contemporary culture, and there's a question of ownership about food.
Well, ownership is a super tricky question, and as a white woman, I feel like I also have to be careful, right? I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to try to not honor anyone, and I definitely, as a food writer and quasi-food historian, want to be able to celebrate the contributions that enslaved Africans gave Southern cooking. There is no doubt that for centuries, both the food that was prepared, the food that was grown, and the ingredients that were brought that came from Africa. What I am just want people to consider is I'm not defining what the ownership is. That's not what I'm trying to do, but I'm just trying to ask people to consider that it isn't one group or the other. It isn't one of the two that owns this. It just isn't. It's multiple cultures that create Southern food. So you can see that the pears still have their square shape, right? But they're almost translucent, sort of this like pale golden translucent. And then so now what we'll do is spoon in a couple of tablespoons of Dijon mustard. And this is just going to really help the flavor pop. I love mustard.
That's a good dose of mustard.
Yeah. So I'll just stir that. If I were just going to make this and serve it straight away, you could put it in a bowl. I could also put this into a clean container, like a mason jar. And like I said, it'll store in the refrigerator for 6 to 8 weeks, or as long as it lasts.
Having spent this time exploring so many different cultural traditions, do you feel like you are going into the kitchen and making recipes for yourself, making food that is different than you would have 10 years ago?
Oh, sure. I'm definitely making food that's different than the food I would have made 10 years ago for multiple different reasons. One of the things that I feel like was able to translate into this most recent book is that my work has been predominantly about Southern food. That necessarily wasn't always what was in my life, right? And so what in this most recent book is just to explain that the South, we have the internet, right? We watch, we're educated people, and, you know, watch different programs and listen to different programs and have exposure. And there are world-class ingredients both coming out of the South and then coming into the South. You know, and you think about, like, even here in Atlanta, like Beaufort Highway, it's like the UN. You can get anything you want there. And it's, yes, this is this major metropolitan area of Atlanta, but there are little pockets of it everywhere that we can get different things to cook and eat. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So then what happens? What do we do with these beautiful
So I want to make you a biscuit. How about that?
I couldn't possibly.
That's what you need to have in your life, is a biscuit. I'm going to cut this with a serrated knife. I'll put a little bit of the mostarda on. And then I'm using an Iberico ham. All right, so there you are. There's your biscuit, ma'am. Well, that smile says it. There you go.
Oh, my God.
That smile says it.
The mostarda is really good. I thought when I saw how much mustard you put in there, mm-hmm. that it would have a super tang, but the pear sweetness, I think, yeah. would tone it down.
And it really is sour, salty, bitter, mm-hmm. sweet, right? So you've got a little bit of the sweetness from the pear and the sour from the mustard, and
a lot of beautiful things happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's it exactly. I think I might make myself one.
Mm-hmm. Chef and author Virginia Willis with the pear, her main ingredient, and of course, biscuits. Her newest book is called Secrets of the Southern Table, a food lover's tour of the global South. She's editor at large for Southern Living and writes Cooking with Virginia at southernkitchen.com.
Okay, you should eat your biscuit.
Any other biscuit
habits? Okay. So good.
Mm-hmm.
And we did post some photos and video of Virginia making those party biscuits. All of that is at gpbnews.org, or you can find them on our Facebook group, On Second Thought.